Hello, and welcome to The Fat Lip. I am Ash, I'm your host, and this is our first episode back since the election, or the first full episode back since the election. I think everyone is still reeling from the result. I still am, and I probably will be for the next 4 years. But life has to go on. We have important work to do, and this show is part of that. So I'm gonna keep doing it. So today is our first episode in the fat dating series that I talked about before. And in today's episode, I'm talking to Devin of the blog Chunky Lemonade. Devin is a fat gay man, and he has a lot to say about dating, and I apparently do too, because we talked for like an hour and a half. So I actually had to cut this episode down quite a bit, but stay tuned on Patreon for those of you who are supporters, because I'll be putting up some of that extra content on there in the next couple of weeks. So this is the first episode in the Fat Dating series. I wanted to say at the top of the show that I am still interested in talking to you if you have something to say about fat dating or if you have stories to tell. I'm especially, as always, interested in hearing from fat people of color, fat disabled people, fat queer people. Because if we talk about fat dating at all, it's always about straight white couples, and that just isn't representative of the real world. So I would love to talk to you if you don't fit in that box. But today, as I said, we're talking to Devin, and it was a really fun conversation, and I really liked talking to him, so I hope you enjoy. But we are supposed to be talking about dating.
Yes.
So tell me about your dating experiences.
Oh, man.
I got all day, so you just, you know,
yeah.
Tell me how it's going.
I don't know, like, my whole life growing up, until I was, like, 12, I was really slim. And then I got sick, and I got put on prednisone, and I just ate everything, and I got bigger, which was mm-hmm. fine with me. I mean, it's still fine with me, but I noticed that kids in middle school started treating me differently, and I didn't really understand why, because I was friends with everybody. I didn't care what color, what size, how short, how tall, what your disability is. I loved everybody. And then through that, I guess I got into a cycle of, wow, I'm an awful person, because that's what society wants me to think. Mm-hmm. And so I slowly grew from that, like, getting into relationships. When I first started seeing people, it was more of a, oh, this person likes me. Even though they're awful, they like me, so I'm going to date mm-hmm. them. I'm going to settle for less than what I deserve, because yeah. this person likes me and nobody has came around. Honestly, I'm just now starting to break that cycle. Mm-hmm. Ashley had to talk to me about it and say, you know, fix this. You don't need somebody. You need to find somebody that, you know, you have things in common with, that is a nice person. Yeah.
I think that's like a universal experience for fat people. Like, I know I went through that, and a lot of my friends have gone through that, where like you like just so desperately like want someone to love you that you're willing to take the shitty things they do to you because like they say they like you. And
yeah, well, and then it's important that people don't get locked in a cycle. Mm-hmm. I the first guy that I lived with, we were together 3 years, and at like the 2.5 year mark, everything started falling apart. And we both knew it, but I tried so hard to keep everything together because I didn't want to lose this person. That I found this person attractive. This person liked me. This is the only person I'm ever going to find that liked me. Mm-hmm. And holding on to something that really isn't there isn't the answer. It's just going to do more harm to you in the end. If you know something is coming to a close, let it go. Like, you will find someone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was a hard, I'm still learning that lesson. I'm not going to lie. I have to say that because if I don't, my friend will yell at me. I still have some dependency issues and stuff. And it's, you have to make yourself happy. Mm-hmm. And that's not just being happy about your weight or anything. You have to enjoy spending time alone, watching Hulu, reading, doing activities, and meeting new people. You don't have to have one person that is your main source of happiness. Right. But when you feel like, you know, society is looking down upon you, oh, wow, you're this big monster. I think that's where most of people's dependency issues come from. And truly, mm-hmm. if you're in an awful relationship, get out of it, because there is somebody else. It might take a year or two just to find them, but there's somebody out there that is going to care for you a lot more than that person did.
Yeah, definitely. I am in the first, like, good functional relationship I've ever been in my life, and I'm 33. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when I first started dating, seriously dating, I was like 20, and I dated this guy in the fat community, mm-hmm. that I met through like a fat community board, and he was awful to me. Like, it's weird, 'cause I just told my current boyfriend about this the other day, but, he would say that he loved me and like, but then he would tell me how disgusting I am and like how no one else would ever love me and like just like constant emotional abuse, right? And like, if I would post a photo of myself, like just like face photo, shoulders up on this fat community that we were both a part of, mm-hmm. he would lose his mind and like call me screaming at the top of his lungs and like saying I was a whore and I was disgusting and like he couldn't believe that I would do something like that. Like, what did I think other people would like me or find me attractive? Like, he was the only one that was ever gonna love me. And like, he would say these things to me. And like, when I was 20 and I was like trying to figure out how to like be okay with my body and the way I felt about my body,
right,
I believed him. And like, I, like when he said those things to me, like I was like, okay, like this is the truth about me, and like this is just something that like I'm just gonna have to deal with my whole life. Like, this is the only guy that's ever gonna love me, and like he treats me like shit, but like,
well,
this is just
the question.
Way that it is. Sure.
Would he do this to you and then later apologize about it?
Oh, absolutely.
See,
so like,
and
so
that's like gaslighting, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, he's keeping you in a situation because, oh, baby, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to react that way. And I've had that in relationships too. And until you actually know what gaslighting is,
right?
I don't think you can really work through it until somebody helps you or talks to you about it or you read an article,
right.
Because it's just so hard to see.
Right. Yeah. 'Cause then like, so he would go through this whole thing and like totally break me down. And then he would call me in the middle of the night crying and like being like, I'm so sorry. Like, I should never have said that to you. You know how much I love you. You know how beautiful you are. And so like, it was just this constant cycle of like him breaking me and then making me feel guilty for being mad at him. And so I stayed in that relationship for 3 years like that. And like, I truly believed everything he said about me. And like, eventually I don't know even what the impetus was, but I eventually was just like, this is not working. Like, this is not healthy. And so I broke up with him. And then, like, it got worse from him after that, because then he was, like, threatening to kill me and stuff, even though he lived, you know, hours and hours away.
Right.
It was a long distance relationship. And, like, he would just, like, make these empty threats that I knew were empty, but it was just, like, when someone you know, like, tells you that they're going to kill you, like, you know, it's terrifying. And,
yeah, exactly.
And I think, like, he thought that he could scare me into coming back to him, which is, like, the most fucked up thing ever. Like,
but
why,
people go
now that I'm outside
of
it. Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if you guys, like, live closer together, like, oh my God, this person could come kill me, but
right.
They say they love me. They want to be with me forever. And if,
yeah,
oh, let me rethink this. Maybe he was just talking out of turn, you know, he does love me.
Right,
no,
exactly.
No, if he loved you, he would have stopped in the first place when you first called him out. And that's something that people have issues doing, is, and it's understandable. I'm not putting anybody down or anything, but you have to find the courage to always, always stand up for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it was just, like, a terrible situation. And it was also hard because, like, he was so likable and so he was so well thought of in the rest of the community. So, like, everybody thought, like, this is a funny, great guy. Like, everybody's entertained by him. And, like, there were definitely people that were like, I don't know, like, about this guy. But, and he convinced me that I shouldn't tell anyone, like, what was going on, because everything was private and you don't want to broadcast our business. So, like, even afterwards, even after we broke up, I didn't tell people about who he was. And
right.
So, like, and I, like, still feel guilt about that, because he went on to, like, I don't think he ever got as involved with anyone else as he did with me, but he definitely had relationships with women that I know now and that I have become friends with, that, like, he treated them like garbage too. And because even after we were out of that relationship, I was still, like, under his control on some level. And he, like, because of the things he said to me, it kept me from saying who he really was. So
right. And I, you know, the last serious relationship, well, it was only a couple months, but the last relationship I've been in, I think, oh my God, hang on. Do you edit this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can take out whatever you need me to take out.
I just had a complete blank. So the last relationship I was in, there was a lot of gaslighting happening in that. And I, you know, I didn't understand what gaslighting was. And a friend of mine who works at the library sent me an article because she was having troubles. And so I read the article, and, you know, we dated for 2 months, and then during his grandmother's birthday party, which was 2.5 hours away, he broke up with me right in the middle of the party.
Wow.
And told me to go home. So I said, okay, if you want me to go home, like, I'm not playing this, like, I'm not going to come back, blah, blah, blah. So I go home, and probably a week later, he calls me, like, oh, I'm so sorry. So I fell back into it. And things got progressively worse. Like, I realized that he was having an extreme alcohol problem. He had talked about stealing medicine from people. And, you know, I have a disability and pain meds and stuff. I don't know what he stole from me.
Right.
I mean, if he's willing to steal from his grandparents. And so we broke up again, and then, of course, he came back, and I got to the point where I was like, I don't deserve this. I don't care how cute you are. You're kind of a terrible person, and it took me a long time to realize that. And I keep saying, my friend Ashley, she was just like, dude, get your shit together. This guy is nuts. And I didn't want to hear that at first. Like, I love this person. And then when I took a step back and to look at it from other people's perspective, I just started to realize how awful he was becoming. Like, he was getting comfortable and the monster was coming out.
Yeah.
And that's just really when you need to stand up for yourself. And standing up for yourself doesn't mean fighting or yelling or even talking. If you're in a situation like this, you feel like you can't get out, like, there are local shelters and things. Like, be careful if you feel threatened, mm-hmm. but also work to get out of that situation.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're out of it.
And you too. Like, fuck you. Those dudes.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Yeah. And actually, like, this guy that I was with, you know, this was 10 years ago. I can't believe it. But he sort of slowly slunk out of the community. And I, like, I don't even know where he is now at this point and what he's doing. But I guess he, like, because I sort of, you know, made a lot of friends and started becoming more social and, like, more active in the community. And so I think he felt like he kind of got pushed out. And I am more than happy to be the pusher.
Right.
To knock him out, because...
Well, he sees you surrounding yourself with all these amazing people and support. And, you know, like, that's scary.
Yeah,
These people are going to help protect her.
Right.
It's extremely frightening, especially because I feel personally most people who treat people that way, it's because they're not happy with themselves.
Oh, absolutely. And, like, and that was absolutely true for him.
Well, and growing up, I would hear that all the time, and I would just roll my eyes and be like, whatever, this person has it all together. Like,
right.
That's mm-hmm. not true. But, man, I'm still learning things, but when I learned that, it just solved a lot of problems in my life.
yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah. So how are prospects these days on the relationship front? Are you just, like, doing you and, like, not worrying about it, or how are things going?
Okay, I try to do me, but I always, right now I'm working on meeting people and building a solid friendship.
Yeah.
I'm talking to some people, and one of them, he works at, you know, a store, and he's, like, the only worker. And he had kind of got aggravated and said something. It wasn't even that out of line, but I had enough balls to be like, look, I don't deserve that. If you're angry, like, deal with it, but you don't need to get rude with me.
Right.
And I've learned how to call people out. Like, if you want to cancel plans with me twice, that's fine, but find somebody else to talk to, because I don't deserve that. I'm worth more.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that, like, that's a thing that it's hard for fat people to learn, is that, like, because I think that society tells us, like, over and over again that there's something wrong with us, and, like, we don't deserve to be in relationships, and, like the stupid TV shows that are, like, you know, of course a fat person can't find love until they're losing weight, or, like, they have lost weight.
Right.
So I feel like because we are always getting this message of, like, that we're not worthy of relationships, that when we get in one, or we are more inclined to, like, put up with garbage, mm-hmm. until you get to the point where you can see, like, okay, like, I do deserve more than this. And, like, I, like, just because of my body, like, I'm not, that isn't a handicap for me. And, like, I'm not going to put up with these idiots that treat me like shit, you know?
Well, and I mean, even once you get to that point, when you have everything together, it's so easy to forget it all in the moment.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
You know, I struggle with it a lot, especially when it comes to body image. But the more, I don't know, I write about my struggles on my blog, and the more that I work through life, I remember more and tend to forget less. And I think that's an important step. And, you know,
absolutely.
Just surround yourself with awesome people. People that are willing to be brutally honest and tell you that that guy is an asshole or that guy is obviously a user or abuser.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and like the online community is so vast now, mm-hmm. of like body activists and like body positivity and fat positivity, that I think it's getting better than ever for fat people to find support. So like, I feel like things are getting better for fat people, and like we don't have to put up with as much as we thought we did before. Like, I think more and more fat people are feeling empowered to demand what they deserve from relationships. So I think that's really good.
It's very important.
Yeah.
And I don't know. When I was younger, like I said, anytime I would hear advice or anything, I would just kind of roll my eyes.
Mm-hmm,
but like, seriously,
sure.
It doesn't matter what age you are, but especially if you're a young person listening to this, listen.
Yeah,
remember,
I know. Yeah.
Don't make our mistakes.
right.
Like, I don't regret anything because I learned from everything. But if we're teaching it to you now.
Yeah.
Don't fall into those traps. You're more important than that. You're more loved than that. And you deserve a lot more than that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Do you feel like being gay has like made it more difficult for you?
I
as a fat person?
Yes, I rant about this all the time.
Please do. Please rant.
Well, and, you know, like the fat community as a whole, you know, we have the media and stuff telling us how we should look. Mm-hmm. But so that can be diverse at times.
Right.
But when it comes to the gay community, you know, you have to have a nice tan,
mm-hmm.
and you have to have a six pack, and, you know, probably be in your underwear for anybody really to pay attention to you. And
yeah.
I just, for any gay big guys that are listening, like, that is not the gay community. If you've gone to Pride or anything of that sort, that's the six pack and the tan is just an image that you see. It's not what the community is, but that does, it does make dating a lot harder.
Spiral like that.
He's probably going to end up listening to this and that's going to be embarrassing, but, like that's the other thing. People always accept a type of person that they want to date. Very rarely do you come across a gay guy that's willing to date anybody. But they're there. However, I've seen a lot of mismatched people that said they wouldn't date or whatever, because once you get to know someone and you start building that bond, like, you start to see the person in a different light.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And I mean, even with that being said, you as a big person, and just in general, if you think people are being shallow to you, you have to remember not to be shallow to somebody who could be the next greatest thing to happen to you. It's so
Absolutely.
Easy to, especially like my generation, nothing but like judgmental attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's people out there who don't have that, but it gets really frustrating sometimes. You know, I'm talking to two guys, and then I have like, you know, other guys through Tinder and stuff that are talking to me. And it's very true. Like, talk to the people that you wouldn't normally talk to, get to know them. And then the people that you do, like, you know, who gives a fuck if he's not going to like you back? Like, as long as you're happy in this moment.
For sure.
It could be an amazing friendship, or it could be more.
Right.
It shouldn't matter straight out the gate if you guys are compatible or not. And that's something that I seriously have issues with. Ashley always tells me, you don't have any chill. You need to chill out. Just enjoy what's happening. And I'm slowly learning how to do that. It's so easy to just want to jump in and pull force to things.
And I think also, like, you have to forgive yourself for having that want. Like, yeah. I know, like, a lot of people that are single and trying to date, like, are really hard on themselves for wanting that, for, like, just desperately wanting to be in a relationship. And, like, and it's reasonable people like you that know that, like, rushing into something is a bad idea. But, like, it's okay to want that and, like, you have to, you know, give yourself some credit for, like, just being a human and that wants, you know, companionship and someone to cuddle with and, like, someone with you for the holidays and that, all that stuff. Like everybody wants that.
I would love that. And, like, come cuddle me. You can keep your clothes on.
I'm right.
It's just nice to this human. Regardless if we're dating or not, this human is here to spend time with me.
Yeah.
And we're doing something together.
Yeah, like, even if it's just, like, sitting on the couch playing video games and eating fried chicken and, like, it's just nice to have someone to, like, exist in the same space with.
And those are really the moments that, you know, are more romantic to me.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, because especially... And, like, especially in the gay community, I mean, any community, honestly, it's a lot. Sex. Mm-hmm. But when a person actually takes time, makes plans with you, doesn't bail out, like, that person cares about you.
Yes, yes. Like, someone that's, like, actually sharing their time and their life with you is...
Yep.
Like, that is what's so hard to find. Because you can always find somebody that's willing to jump into your bed. Like, that's easy.
Yep. But then, you know what? They're there for, like, well, I've been with some awful people, so they're there for, like, 5 minutes and then they come on.
Yep.
And not that that's bad, but literally, like, I had the attention of someone for 5 minutes. Oh, that was great. But no, it wasn't. And
then you just feel worse because then it's like.
Exactly. Because I did the whole Grindr thing. Because, mm-hmm. you know, that's gay culture. That's what we do. All the gays have Grindr. Not right. true. But I tried it. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I had a lot of... I still have issues in my life that I need to work through. But
everybody does. We all do.
It really broke me. It left me feeling empty and, like, kind of worthless. Like... I mean, at least, like, once I found Tinder, and then now there's a gay Tinder called, like, Surge or something. Those are actually connecting me with humans who the first thing that comes out of their mouth isn't, like, hey, you want to fuck? And
right.
I think it's good that, you know, if because almost every guy that I've talked to about my experiences on Grindr and how awful it made me feel, they said they agreed.
Yeah. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with some people do enjoy just like the hookup culture. That's totally fine.
If just being
a hoe is what works for you, that's totally fine. But like for a lot of people, like it just ends up making you feel shitty about yourself.
Yeah. And I mean, especially when it comes to sexual stuff, it's good to explore and find out what works for you and what doesn't. But if something doesn't work for you, it's important to recognize that too. Like maybe a monogamous relationship isn't for you.
Right.
Then
that's absolutely okay.
You just have to be honest with the person you're with and then see if they want to pursue that with you or not, or if you have to move on, or if you're with somebody who doesn't want a monogamous relationship, what are you going to do? It's important to choose whatever makes you happy because truly, you're going to break hearts just as much as your heart gets broken. You might not be trying to do it, but that's just how it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, and like the thing about dating is like everyone is just fumbling through just like you are. Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. Like everybody's just trying to like get to know someone and like determine whether, you could live with them or like have them in your life. But like everybody's just struggling just as much as you are. And like it's important to recognize that like nobody knows what they're doing. And like there's no, there's no blueprint for how dating is supposed to work or like how you're supposed to conduct yourself
Well,
and
I
whether you're
have
supposed to
one
be.
blueprint.
What's that?
Don't let this fucker move in with you after knowing him for like less than a year.
Yeah, it's probably a bad idea.
I've done that twice. I mean, like I said, you can read the mess of my life on the blog because
You should, okay, so you should tell everyone what your blog is so that everybody knows to go look at it. I'll also link to it in the show notes and stuff so that everybody can click and come through. But so what's your blog?
Alrighty, so I'm really bad at naming things, and I wanted like chunky or fat in the name, and then I had started it during the summer, and I was drinking lemonade, and so I was like, "Chunky Lemonade, that is a great blog name," and I like it now, but I. Once I bought the domain, I was like, wow, this is the worst name ever. But I'm growing into it. And
Yeah.
the blog is just about the mess that my life is. Like, I'll share a story about what's going on with me. And then I like one of my most popular blogs is how to act when someone breaks up with you. And then I just, it's jokingly written, but it also has serious stuff in it, and
Right.
I just share random tips and stuff. I think my one of the blogs that will be on the main page is about depression. Like I had some issues with depression not too long ago. Like I have depression, I have anxiety. I'm always gonna have issues with that, but it was really bad. So I wrote about, hey guys, sorry I haven't written much. I've been having a rough time. But this is how I deal with my depression. And then I look talk about like three or two things that I do. And it's all about just, conversating with people, letting your voice be heard.
Right.
It's just so it's kind of personal, but it's kind of like an adventure and trying to help people through their stuff and letting them know, like, hey, I have these struggles too. You're not alone.
Thank you so much to Devin for coming on the show today to talk about some tough things. It was really fun. You will be hearing from Devin again. He will be coming back to lend his voice to future episodes. So look forward to that. And in the meantime, be sure to check out his blog at chunkylemonade.com. Also, as always, thank you to Star Crusher for the music that you hear in this episode and in all of the episodes of The Fat Lip. Make sure you go to cstarcrusher.bandcamp.com to purchase his album, Goodbye Halcyon Days. And our Patreon patron for the week is Tiffany. Tiffany is a badass activist and organizer, and I think more than ever, I appreciate the work that she does every day. And so thank you for that, Tiffany, and thank you for supporting this show. Also, if you have a few minutes, don't forget to rate and review the show on iTunes and check out our social media. You can access all of that from thefatlip.com. And if you are not a Patreon subscriber but you would like to know more, go to patreon.com/thefatlip to learn how. And spoiler alert, there are stickers. I actually just sent out the first batch a couple weeks ago, and they're pretty nice stickers. And the only way you can get one right now is by being a Patreon patron. So if you want a sticker, go to patreon.com/thefatlip and find out how you can get your hands on one. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.